speak English.
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
99999!
This is fucked up.
Fuck you!
Fuck you! You
better fucking back off, man.
I don't give a fuck.
Motherfucking!
Motherfucking!
Fucking!
Motherfucker!
Asshole!
Shut the fuck up!
Motherfucker! You're fucking my shit up right now!
Bingo!
Hello everyone, welcome back to Football Talk Fest. Did you miss this podcast? I don't think so, go fuck yourself. No, the real reason I could not upload in the last few weeks was because I don't have time for you every week. I only get 2 days free and I don't want to spend every fucking weekend planning, recording, editing, sharing and promoting this stupid fucking podcast. And this stupid podcast crossed 10,000 listeners a couple of weeks ago. And it's very close to 15,000 now, which should cross this week, I think. It's still not good enough for me to quit my job. But I will do an episode once every month, at least. 3 weekends for me and one for you. I think that's fair for both. And if you think it's not fair and it should be 50-50, then you can write to me on talkfestpod@gmail.com or add me on Twitter at ftalkfest. I deleted my Instagram account because I don't want to post a picture every time I want to say something. Twitter is better that way. I mentioned in the last episode that it will be the end of first season. But no, fuck that. Football Talk Fest will always be of one season and it will never end unless I do. This is episode 13 and I have some shit to talk about. Let's start with what happened in the last 6 weeks. Real Madrid, which is the club that I love and support, became champions of Spain. This year was really special and unique in the sense that we did it without Cristiano Ronaldo. It's the beginning of a new era for this club, and I would also like to congratulate Barcelona on winning their 26th runners-up trophy of La Liga. They now have just as many runners-up medal as winners' medal. That's really commendable. It takes a huge amount of stupidity, carelessness, and the desire to lose to be able to bottle 14 points lead in a matter of months. So, congratulations, Barcelona fans. You all get to eat my shit. I know some Liverpool fans listen to this podcast, and I would also like to take this moment and congratulate them on losing their virginity. Congratulations on reaching the other side of the river, and there is no going back. We will talk more on that, but first let's introduce the guest. Welcome back, Sanket. How are you doing? Are you feeling like a champion?
Hi, Akash. Good to be back with you on this podcast. And of course, I'm not just feeling like a La Liga champion just like you. I'm feeling like a champion of every fucking thing. We're champions of Europe, we're champions of the world. And now, after 30 years' wait, we are champions of England. So I'm feeling on top of the world, actually.
Yeah. Thank you, Sanket. Thank you for being here. Let's start with Liverpool, of course. Considering their little achievement, they have finally managed to become the champions of England after 31 years. Most of this club's fans have seen this happen for the very first time in their life. Let's hear more on it from a diehard Liverpool fan who has supported this club for all his life. This is the first time for him. Let's hear from him. Sanket?
Of course. It's been 15 long years since I've been supporting Liverpool, and I won't say it's been completely full of disappointments, but there has been this one particular holy grail that we have failed to achieve until this current season, and that was the Premier League trophy. So it's a very different kind of feeling that a lot of fans, including me, we are yet to kind of, you know, it's not sinking into easily, but it's a fact. With this title, we've put an end to a lot of memes and a lot of trolls that we've faced over the years. But to be very honest, this league win was very different in the sense that we had it coming. We had literally won the league before we went for a lockdown, because we had 82 points before the league went to a pause, and the maximum points that City could achieve this season was 81. So it was more of a, how do I put it, a delay and maybe a glimmer of hope for the null and void army. But it's just a beautiful feeling. It's so well deserved, you would say, besides all your memes and trolls, you would say that each and every player, like Henderson, like Robertson, they have their own stories, they have their own, you know, struggles that they came through. Your favorite player, Mane, maybe Klopp, losing so many finals. And it's one for the football romantics, I would say. But congratulations to you as well, because on the very year that Liverpool left a Premier League, the La Liga title hasn't been too kind to Real Madrid as well. So congratulations to you as well. You won the La Liga fair and square, and rather in a more exciting way than Liverpool.
We won 10 out of 11 games after the lockdown. Thank you, Sanket. And I can only imagine what you are feeling right now. Let's just also talk about Real Madrid and their journey of becoming champions of Spain.
Of course.
Yeah. Let's start with the player of the season, who is Sergio Ramos, of course. How much Van Dijk scored this season, Sanket? Can you take
it? He scored 5 goals, but in case you're going to draw a parallel, I would like to speak also about this once you've finished with what you're saying. But he scored 5 goals.
Do you know how much Griezmann scored this season? 8 goals. Ramos also has 8 goals.
Okay. Interestingly, Ramos is also on penalties for Real Madrid, right?
Yeah. But
And he does tend to take them really, really well.
Yeah, he never missed any penalties so far. He also scored a free kick this season.
Yes, I'm aware of that. That was a beautiful... So, because we got into that Van Dijk thing, I would like to clarify, because we have a Real Madrid fan right here. I don't think it's a fair comparison between Sergio Ramos and Virgil Van Dijk. Virgil Van Dijk has been on the footballing, top footballing scene for, I think,
for
four
two
or
years.
5 years.
Two years.
Whereas Sergio Ramos has been
around 10 years, a decade.
Since I yes. And one more thing that makes him, you know, stand apart from Virgil van Dijk is the fact that he fucking started playing as a right back. I remember that 2010 World Cup for Spain. He was one heck of a right back. And I really loved him as a player. And then to top it all, he's a World Cup winner besides all the glory that he has had. So it's not fair to put them into the same bracket. And I have huge admiration for Sergio Ramos, his character, his game, and everything, apart from the fact that what happened in Kyiv with him and Salah.
Thank you, Sanket. I will also share some stats, just a couple of stats about this season, because most of the football fans don't follow La Liga. I will also mention Thibaut Courtois, who is our goalkeeper, and he has won a trophy that no Real Madrid goalkeeper ever won since Casillas, since 2008. He won the Zamora trophy.
Which is... Okay.
Yeah, for keeping 19 clean sheets this season.
Oh, so like we have Golden Glove in Premier League, it's called the Zamora Trophy in La Liga.
Yeah.
Okay, that's new to me as well. Interesting. Thibaut Courtois has faced a lot of criticism as well. So,
it's yeah, from me too. From me as well. He's way too tall. if you know what I mean.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and also, we had 21 different goal scorers this season.
Interesting.
That's more than any club in the Europe, actually.
Okay. I wonder how many we had in the Premier League as a Liverpool fan, but 21 is a massive number. Do you think Zinedine Zidane has found out his preferred 11 as of now? Does he have a settled 11? Do you think going into the next season, you have a settled squad? Or is he still trying to understand?
I will share also another interesting stat about Zidane, that no manager has ever put different lineups than him. So he does not have a preferred 11, and we really do need a striker and a right back, I would say.
So that does worry you, right? The fact that you do not have a stable starting 11.
But we have Zidane, and I think that is enough, you know.
Okay, I heard a rumor or I read somewhere that even Zidane hasn't really, you know, committed to the Real Madrid project. Is that
where did you hear that, Sanket?
I think it was ESPN FC or some place where it was like that he is still waiting for negotiations. It might be a clickbait, you can never say, but I just wanted to know more from a Real Madrid fan.
First of all, I don't watch ESPN anymore. I just watch it sometimes to have a laugh. And I would not believe anything.
Absolutely.
And I would not believe anything that ESPN says about Zidane or any club for that matter.
Even I watch it for just the fun bit.
Yeah.
You know,
how
we all,
the amount
we
of
all
stupidity.
Could get a good laugh out of that show.
Let's move on to another tournament that Real Madrid is also currently in. But let's see what happens. Sanket, who do you think?
Oh, of course. Are we talking about Real Madrid's very own tournament?
Yeah. So, who do you think will win this season, Sanket?
So, because obviously Liverpool is out of the Champions League, there is very little interest that is left of me. Because you know that I didn't used to follow Champions League as much unless Liverpool was participating in it.
Yeah.
But if I have to pick a dark horse, because I saw a good chunk of Bundesliga after the pandemic break, I would place my money on that Bayern Munich side because I felt that, I mean, really, why is nobody talking about Bayern Munich? They have one of the most completely balanced side. If you talk about attack, if you talk about midfield, the defense, the keeper, even Neuer is back to his very best. And people are talking about Lewandowski actually getting a chance to lift the Ballon d'Or before it got cancelled. So, I will have my eyes on Bayern Munich. But, of course, a lot of teams. Manchester City is there. Real Madrid, one of these two, of course. And then we have maybe an Mbappe-less PSG. And Atlanta are a nice team to look forward to. But I would put my money on Bayern Munich.
That's a very strong pick, Sanket. I don't want to answer this question because, you know, we are still in the tournament.
You will be biased, yes. And of course, what are your thoughts on Bayern Munich, actually? Or who are your favorites aside? Maybe if let's say Real Madrid does not make it, then would you be putting your money on maybe a Manchester City or perhaps a Barcelona? Oops, Barcelona.
Is PSG still in the competition?
Yes, PSG is still around, but they will be without Mbappe.
Then
did you see that tackle on Mbappe?
No, I read about that news. So how long
that
is
was a horrific tackle?
Yeah, how long?
He's out for 3 months.
Then. Yes, Bayern really had a good chance this season, I think. And Manchester City could... will Sané play for Bayern if they face each other?
I am not very sure, but that's an interesting one that you've brought up. Because already we're talking about how well-balanced the Bayern side is. And if you add Sané into the picture, then it becomes absolutely lethal, their options up front. But I'm not very sure if Sané gets to play for them. Even someone like Manchester City, I think, because you know that's exactly what Pep wants. He's won everything with Manchester City. And with this UEFA ruling that had banned them for 2 years and now it's, you know, they are exonerated. I think the players will be boosted up. I mean that's what they want really badly. And on their day, they can beat. Rather destroy any side. You saw how they destroyed Liverpool.
They just have one more game in this tournament, in my opinion.
Let's hope so.
And they should make the most out of it, I think.
Of course. That's a team definitely to watch out.
Yeah. Let's move on to FPL. Alright?
Oh yes, Fantasy Premier League.
I fucked up this season, but I finished around 170k rank, which means I am in the top 2.5% of all the FPL players. For me, 170,000 rank means I am 169,999 ranks away from where I want to be, which will never happen, but I can at least try and be better than my friends who play this game. I have one of those friends here with me. Although I had him by the balls this season for a few weeks.
Yes, you did.
But then you brought a snake.
Can we put some snake music in the background?
I will definitely add that. Let's hear more about your journey, Sanket, because it was really, really...
Okay, I'll take that as a compliment. So before we talk about my team, why don't we tell our listeners that the reason, I mean, you're putting it that way, that it, this season was a fucked up season for you. I think maybe that's how you judge it. But for the listeners, this was Akash's best season in the Fantasy Premier League until now. And I'm sure he's going to build upon this season in the next season too. Coming back to my season, well, I was having an actual fucked up season, if you believe me. It was one of the most underwhelming season where there were a lot of mistakes made by me.
At the start.
Things like I was, yeah. But so we'll cut to the chase, and I'll simply come back to when we went to the break. I was ranked 345,000 overall. And then, of course, I think I got the luck from Fantasy Bundesliga, or I changed my style of play. I went too aggressive, I believe. And like Akash mentioned, there was this one snake that changed my game altogether. So obviously, in the first week of restart, I scored a staggering 137 points. And of course, Sterling was part of that team. I went with a triple city midfield. And then that week alone got me from 345,000 rank to 120k rank. So that was a massive jump. And that's when my dream of finishing in a top 100k became a reality that I could go for. And thereafter, there were a couple of more weeks, thanks to Raheem Sterling, who in one of the weeks when I captained him, he gave me 42 points as a captain. He scored a fucking hat-trick. And Akash, do you remember what sort of hat-trick was it? If you can recall the third goal that he scored, it was the most jammiest goals. You know, it just touched his head and went in the goal just like that. But fair bit of luck. And importantly, I had ditched Kevin De Bruyne for him, who was owned by around 50-55% of the players. So that was a gamble, but a gamble that paid off. And then towards the end, both Akash and I, we both got in Eric Peters and Bardsley from Burnley. And Eric Peters gave me a decent return. Chris Wood gave me a decent return. And the final week was all about Riyad Mahrez. So yeah, I ended up with an overall rank of around 45,000, which exceeded my expectations because I wanted to finish under 100k, but I ended up finishing under 50k. So I think I would take that, definitely.
So I have your FPL history open right in front of me, and
right,
you have never finished outside of 100k ever in FPL. What the fuck, man?
That would be, yeah. Thank you so much, but that's slightly misleading because ever since I've switched to this email address that I currently use, this particular profile, it's been 3 years. And in these 3 years, you're correct that I've finished 1,735 and 45,000. So yeah, these 3 years have been rather kind, you can say. These 3 years I have finished under 100k. So yes, I mean, but there is still a lot to learn. I think this season, I've learned so much more than I did the last two seasons.
On the topic of learning, Sanket, so, can you please share what you do that the other 99% don't do in FPL?
So first and foremost, like, there is no one way of playing or nailing FPL. Everyone has their own way. There are just a couple of things that I do, and I'm not sure if I would recommend others to do that, but I go with a very, very useless bench, first and foremost. And that is a trademark style of play for me. It's not the most beneficial, I would say, but it helps me in two ways. Firstly, the fear of having points on your bench. Akash, you know exactly how it feels when you have players on your bench and they score big and you haven't put them in your starting 11. So that is one of the worst feelings that I have. And the second bit, obviously, it helps free up those funds that I can put to my starting 11. So again, this is not the best strategy for others to follow, but this is something that I do. Other than this, I've decided that I'm going to target midfielders, perhaps five midfielders, or captaining the midfielders, going big at the back, the likes of Trent, the likes of Doherty, the likes of Alonso, and so on and so forth. So that is something that I try to maximize. because you are getting that extra points for goals and extra points for clean sheets. And besides that, I mean, there's nothing specific that I do. It's just that after the restart, I started taking more risks. I started taking more gambles and I've started playing too aggressively, which I look forward to do in the next season as well.
And I will also try to improve on my season. I also have another question for you, Sanket. Do you think high team value helps you in any way?
So again, like I said, there is no one way of playing FPL. Again, this is very subjective, but for me, I am someone who looks at team values. Now, I'll give you a very small example. When this project restart started, you are aware that we were all given unlimited transfers, okay? Yeah. So compare your team with an unlimited transfer worth 106 million in your account and compare that with someone who has 99 or maybe 100 million in his account. So if you consider that 6 million gap, that 6 million could take you from Brandon Williams to a Trent Alexander-Arnold, from a Phil Foden to a Raheem fucking Sterling. So that's a huge gap, those 6 million or 5 odd million that we're talking about. So definitely when you're using those wild cards, when you're using those free hits, that is where that extra money comes into play. And obviously for you and for me, we use these apps called Fantasy Football Fix. So we are very, very, actively managing our teams and monitoring these price rises. So I think it helps us a lot. What do you think about the price of the players and the team value?
I take trading very seriously because I read it somewhere about FPL. Let's say you have a team worth 107 million by game week 18. All right. So you have 7 million more than the rest than any ordinary player would have.
And yes.
Yeah. There are 20 game weeks left. So you will have a 140 million advantage over the rest of the players.
And interesting way to look at it, definitely.
Right, and that's why I really take trading very seriously, because if one thing I can do in FPL is high team value, if not a very high rank.
Yeah, but just because I said, like, obviously we're talking about this, but let's talk about a Kevin De Bruyne, okay? For someone like you, you had him from the very first week and he was a massive player for you since the start of the season.
Yeah.
Now, put yourself in my situation when I did that move from Kevin De Bruyne to Raheem Sterling. Towards the end of the season, I did not really think about my value tied to Kevin De Bruyne. And that kind of paid off for me, except for Kevin De Bruyne going ballistic in the last game week. So what are your thoughts on that? What part of the season does... Because I feel towards the end of the season, team values kind of, once you've used that second wild card, once you've used that second, that free hit, I think it doesn't remain so important as it does towards the rest of the season. What do you think?
See, I have followed Laterizer and these guys. I have also followed you for many years. And I have realized that wild cards are not, it doesn't really make a difference. If you are a good player, then you will find a way to get into top 100k. In Laterizer's case, I made Mane triple captain and it failed for him as well, and it failed for me, but he ended up as India's best player. And
I think his overall rank was 26 or something.
Yeah. And I'm nowhere near him, I'm really confused at this moment, and I will definitely try to do better then.
But yes, we'll continue to learn. I mean, obviously there was a lot that you learned, there was a lot that I learned, and I'm sure that there's a lot more to learn when the next season comes. And I am personally very excited to watch Bielsa and Leeds in the league next season.
Yeah, have you done any research on him so far?
I'm a huge fan of Marcelo Bielsa. According to me, obviously Pep and Klopp are one of the best managers in the world, but Bielsa is their motherfucking father. He's the daddy of all these coaches, and the kind of intensity, the kind of research and hard work in details he puts, that is unmatched. Simply, I mean, Pep kind of, You know, you remember when Pep told that Bielsa knows more about my Barcelona team than I know. And that was the biggest compliment that Bielsa could get. Also, another thing, style of play that is called murder ball, which he employs in the training. So, do you know what he does in that murder ball?
No. Please tell me.
So they play like, you know, it depends the duration, 45 minutes or 40 minutes or 20 minutes of unstopped play. So, there is no stoppage whatsoever. There is no throw-in. When the ball goes out, there are assistant coaches who quickly throw the ball back in. There are no fouls. There are no stoppages whatsoever, and the players are continuously running. I mean, and these are real stories when he makes the players run until they start vomiting. So his style of play is totally based on intensity and energy, and I'm really excited because he deserves to be playing alongside, you know, the Pep Guardiolas and the Jurgen Klopps of the world. I'm really, really happy for him. You remember Pablo Hernandez, a Swansea player?
No, I don't.
Okay, so he was a Swansea player. I think he used to play for Valencia as well, I guess. So he plays for them. He's 34 years old now, but he's still there. In fact, even Kiko Casilla or someone, one of the Real Madrid ex-goalkeeper,
is he still backup goalkeeper.
No, he's not there. He did some fuck up there. He had some disciplinary issues there. He made some racist comment or something. And I think, yeah, he was done for. But I remember, I think it was Kiko Casilla.
A typical Spanish guy. we moved away from FPL for a bit. So, one last question.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sanket.
Right.
Do you think sentiments or emotions matter in FPL?
So, okay.
By that, I mean, I don't mean love for any player. I also mean the hate for any player.
So when you're asking that question, even you know the answer. It shouldn't matter, but it does for both you and for me. It does matter for you when it comes to a player of a certain racial background. And it does matter to me as well, you know. Perhaps, you know, going with Martial, because I thought Martial was so injury prone. And I did not go ahead with him because I have seen in my own experience that whenever I've had Martial, I know he can score big. But I had this prejudice that he gets injured, and we all know what he did towards the restart. And then, of course, when I triple captained Mohamed Salah, because again, that was my sentiments when we had lost against Manchester City, and I thought that, wow, now Liverpool is going to batter, you know, Burnley was it, or some other team. But it didn't happen. So I don't think emotions should come into the picture, but that is something that is, we cannot do anything about it. Even you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's a great answer, Sanket.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think without...
It shouldn't matter, right?
Then I will not find this game fun. It's very hard to explain, but... I think
when you say it does matter for you, so when it's between Salah and Mane, and because emotions matter, it would be very easy for you to pick Mane above Salah, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't take into account other statistics or other underlying numbers or
no.
What the pundits say.
No.
You would simply go with Mane because that's what... Okay, fair enough.
And do you think I should keep doing it in the next season?
It's difficult. If I tell you not to do it, but what is the guarantee that I myself don't fall for it? Because I have, you know, but I think we have to be flexible. We have to have fun, but also we have to chase those players, you know, like you did with Kevin De Bruyne. And then I was like, towards the start of the season, no, everyone has him. I will not get him. And it was me who suffered. So, I mean... You are losing out because of your prejudice. Because I did not buy Kevin De Bruyne from the first week and I was adamant that I don't want him, I suffered. And that is why I think we have to be very flexible. We have to be flexible.
Man, I will tell you one thing.
We cannot...
It's very hard not to get emotional at least one of the 38 weeks, you know?
Of course. That is why I said it's very natural. It comes naturally to us. But
and especially
in general life,
rage transfers.
But you've still gotten better, huh? because I remember last season and last to last season, there were multiple minus 24s, minus 16 and whatnot. And this season, I think there was just one minus 24 that you took, or minus 16, was it?
Yeah, it was minus 20 and ended up and with a green arrow.
And that was also towards the end of the season.
Yeah, because I already gave up by that point.
Yeah, the mini league, you gave up on the mini league, but that's another important thing, that you should always keep your eye on the overall ranking.
But mini league is fun, bro. We are getting actual money out of
yes.
it.
Of course, yes. There is a lot at stake in the mini league. But yeah, I mean, to each its own, as long as you're having fun with the game.
I'm going to make a fresh account with Football Talk Fest. And
I think yes. Yeah. Although you could keep this 170k with you, but then your choice.
No, I don't care about that.
We're definitely going to have a league as well with F-Talk Fest, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
And let's see if we can have a giveaway or we can monetize that league. That would be fun.
I'm surely giving away something at least. I'm sure I can save something after 1 year.
I hope it doesn't end up like, you know, a Salah fan getting a Sergio Ramos signed jersey or something like that.
If the guy wants it, then, you know, he will get it, bro.
That would be great. That would be great. I would love to be a part of it.
Before we end this episode, Sanket, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I think the FA Cup final is going on as we are recording. And I think Arsenal are about to win the fucking FA Cup, which means they would also be a part of the Europa League next season. So this dramatic season ends in a dramatic way. And yeah, that's about it for me in terms of football. I hope everyone's safe, everyone's indoors, and everyone's taking all the right precautions that they need to take. And let's hope the pandemic gets over soon enough.
Yeah, I hope everyone is doing what they want. I don't care if they're safe. I'm bored. It's been 4 months and I don't care anymore. Thank you, Sanket, for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Before I say goodbye, I have to talk a little about basketball. I don't even watch basketball. I don't have any interest in watching 7 foot tall guys put the ball in the net, which is not even high enough for a guy that tall. I don't understand why people watch that game. But I still have to talk about it, because I was dared by Castbox on Twitter to record a whole episode on basketball. They are also one of the podcast platforms where I upload this show on, and I would like to apologize to them for not doing an entire episode on basketball. I don't know enough about that game to do an episode. So I will just say this to any basketball fan listening, that I'm sorry about Kobe Bryant. I know that was recent. And also, basketball is overrated, and white people should stop playing that game, or even dream about becoming a great basketball player. Okay? Leave the basketball to the black people, and you guys focus on Formula One. No black guy ever will be a competition for you in that game. I very much doubt.
Hey, come on. What about Lewis Hamilton? I think the ongoing F1 race, I think Lewis Hamilton got first position. So they're everywhere. They're winning it. They're killing it in football. They're killing it in basketball. They're killing it in Formula One.
I very much doubt that a basketball player can even get into one of the Formula One cars. That's all I have to say. That's all I have to say about basketball. Also, Sanket, do you believe there is a God?
Kabhi kabhi lagta hai apun hi bhagwan hai.
I will spoil this for you. There is no God. There is only you, Sanket. And you can do whatever the fuck you want. Thank you for listening. Now, I have to... Do the five big grind once more.